أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We already discussed in the last Thursday the situation which is related to Alamul Ikhlas, the world of sincerity. As we were discussing around the hadith of the famous hadith of the Holy Prophet, whosoever exercises patience for 40 mornings, what Allah does is that, you know, the fountains of wisdom, basically they burst from the qalb and soul of that person and overflow on his tongue. And this great and deep hadith and tradition of the Holy Prophet is so much thought-provoking, and that we as a believer must pay attention to the contents of this hadith. We already discussed the 11 levels, what Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum Rahmatullahi alayhi, one of our all-time great Urafa and scholars, highly regarded by our scholars because of his greatness. These 11 levels that he had mentioned, and the 12th level is after crossing those 11 levels, a person finally enters the world of sincerity, how he calls it, the Alamul Ikhlas. When we call somebody is a sincere person, somebody is mukhlis, somebody is mukhlas, that basically when we use these terminologies, we are talking about the ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah, which is a technical term of ilmul irfan. It's not just a regular word that we can just use it for anybody. There are so much we have been told about this stage and how to achieve and how to arrive and how to maintain. This verse of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning, Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayh says that this verse, talking about the shuhada and martyrs, he says this verse is actually an ishara, an indication towards the alamul khulus, the world of sincerity. When Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ, don't even think about those who get become shaheed, get killed in the path of Allah, to be dead. Don't even think that those people are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ, instead they are alive. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, close to their Lord. يُرْزَقُونَ, receiving risk and sustenance. So this verse, أَحْيَاءٌ, that they are alive, Sayyid Mahdi Rahmatullah Alayh says, Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayh says that this refers to the Alamul Ikhlas. So basically the shuhada, or every shaheed, which is classified according to the terminology of Holy Quran, falls in the category of a mukhlas person. We already discussed the difference between a mukhlis and mukhlas. Mukhlis is a person who himself exercises sincerity towards Allah in his actions, whereas mukhlas with a fatha, zabar on the lam, means someone whom Allah made sincere. So this is the higher level of sincerity. So all the mukhlaseen, those whom Allah made sincere, are basically the ones who are alive, and all of them are shaheed, and every shaheed is mukhlas. So basically everyone who is mukhlas is a shaheed, and everyone which is a shaheed is a mukhlas. That's the way it goes. And when you are shaheed in the dictionary of Quran, you are always alive because of the fact you have the hayatun haqiqiyya, the real life. The mawt-e zahiri, which I talked about in the last Thursday, is something which everybody has to taste it. We are not talking about mawt-e zahiri, because mawt and death is classified in two forms, mawt-e zahiri and mawt-e haqiqi. Mawt-e zahiri, the apparent death, is unavoidable. Allah has said to the Holy Prophet in Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ, certainly you are going to die. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, and certainly they are going to die. Everybody on earth is going to die. Even the Holy Prophet cannot be spared from the mawt-e zahiri, the apparent death. So this is not the point. The real point and the real life is to gain the spiritual and the real life of the soul, which depends when we become shaheed, we get the real life. And every shaheed has to be, in the dictionary of Quran, if a person is really shaheed and martyr, then he has to be someone who is mukhlas. And he, you know, of course we understand in the light of the interpretation done by Sayyid Bahrul Room that he has to be a mukhlas person to, because he's already done from the stages, 11 stages ahead of it, of becoming shaheed, and he has already done from the jihad akbar, and that's how he gets the tawfiq from Allah finally to cross the, you know, cross those stages and reach the alamul fath wa zafar, if you remember, which I explained already. Alamul fath means the world of victory. He calls the alamul khulus and alamul ikhlas as alam fath wa zafar. That means the stage of victory. Finally the guy became victorious. He succeeded to kill and crush every desire and every wish and all the whims and desires and wishes and all the attachments that we gain and our soul gains from this material temporary world that bogs us down and blocks our spiritual advancement towards Allah and His recognition. So the person has already broken apart from those attachments, reached the level of the world of victory, Alamul Fath wa Zafar, the world of victory. So now he is Khalis and Mukhlas, he is sincere and pure already. This person is alive. And then he also mentioned that this verse, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, also refers is doing is an indication towards the same level. And also Sayyid Bahrul Uloom mentioned that this verse of Holy Quran in Suratul An'am, verse 122, this verse, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيِّتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. So, which in the light of this verse, we understand the person who was mayyit and dead, and Allah says, فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ, and we made him alive. The person who was dead, and we made him alive. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ, and we provided nur, we created nur for him, along which he is walking among the people. And I told you this nur in the ayat of Quran refers to the nur of ma'rifat of the person. So a person who has the nur of ma'rifat, these people, these awliyaullah, when they walk around in the society, they have the nur of ma'rifat, and everything they do is full of the nuraniyat. Everything of theirs is a guidance for the rest, you know, in awliyaullah, the way the Prophet had mentioned in his famous hadith that in awliyaullah, you know, sakatu kana sukutuhum fikran, when the beloved servants of Allah, when they are silent, their sukut and silence is nothing but is fikr and tafakkur and remembrance, thinking about Allah. So even their silence is nur, even their silence is a point to learn a lesson from. We need to learn a lesson from that kind of silence also, because it gives us a lesson and guidance that whenever we are silent, we should ponder and think about the affairs of Allah. So in awliyaullah sakatu kana sukutuhum fikran wa takallamu fa kana takallamuhum dhikran, and Prophet said whenever they speak, their talk is the dhikr and remembrance of Allah. وَنَذَرُوا فَكَانَ نَذَرُهُمْ عِبْرَةً, whenever they look at something, the awliya Allah, the beloved servants of Allah, when they look at something, their look is the look of ibrat, that means taking a lesson out of it. And ibrat is in ilmul akhlaq, the knowledge of Islamic morality, has been defined that when you transfer from a sifat-e bad towards a sifat-e khub, a bad moral attribute towards a good moral attribute. When you look at the bad thing, you get transferred yourself from that similar bad attribute, if it is found in your spirituality, get transferred towards a good spiritual attribute. If you do that, then it is called an ilmul akhlaq, that you took ibrat, you took a lesson out of it. That's the behavior of awliyaullah. Whenever they look around anything in this dunya, around us, you know, there are so many things that we need to take ibrat and lessons. Like Imam Ali has said in Nahj al-Balagha, مَا أَكْثَرَ الْعِبَارِ وَأَقَلَّ الْاِعْتِبَارِ. How many ibrats are available, but how less people are taking the lesson of ibrat. So there are so many things to learn a lesson from. Whenever you look around things, to people, to what is the events, the happenings, the things which are taking place around you, everything has lesson, one or several, to learn. But not everybody is learning a lesson from. So the sifat and attribute of the beloved servants of Allah, they always take a lesson, learn a lesson out of it. And then Prophet said, وَلَتَقُوفَ كَانَ نُتْقُهُمْ حِكْمَةً, and when awliyaullah, the beloved servants of Allah, they talk, they have nutq, their talk is always wisdom. So they don't talk lahu and lahav. Their talk is always above the level of lahu and lahav and useless, unnecessary, non-beneficial talk. Everything is full of wisdom. And then finally he said that lawlal ajalu allati kutibat alayhim, if it was not the fixed time of death that had been written upon them, لَمْ تَسْتَقِرْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَبْدَانِهِمْ, their souls would not have stayed in their bodies. So why their souls stayed in their bodies? That means why did they remain alive in this dunya? Because the time of death has been fixed by Allah and nobody can do anything about it. So if the time of death was not fixed by Allah, they had zero attachment with this dunya. their souls would have actually and really departed their bodies, because their souls have anyway, the souls don't have any attachment with this temporary world. They are attached with the other world. So they have no problem in dying. These people have already basically in the Islamic spiritual sense, they are already dead. Dead in the sense that all what happens after death to the soul already has happened with their souls. What happens after death? The soul gets detached. They have already detached their souls from this dunya and its material temporary belongings. So that's where we came to the point of this ayat, where Sayyid Bahrul Uloom has said in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 68, that وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. When the trumpet is blown, everybody would fall down. That means, in other words, everybody would die when Israfil, that one of those four great angels of Allah, will blow the trumpet, the Sur of Israfil. Everybody in the heavens and everybody in the earth will die. Illa man shaa Allah. Quran says, except the one whom Allah wishes. Who are the one or those whom Allah wishes? It has been interpreted in our tafaseer. And that's what I was telling you in the last Thursday, that there were several interpretations in different tafsirs, and I told you the long hadith, which I am not going to repeat, from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, which was narrated from Tafsir al-Qummi, Tafsir of Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi, which is regarded as one of our very great tafaseer. And I had reached in the point where I was telling you this segment of the statement of Allah, when all the people would die, and then Allah would say, Limanil mulkul yaw. Whom does the empire, whom does the mulk, whom does the empire belongs? And basically, then Allah Himself will reply. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, Allah Himself will reply to His own statement, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَارِ, to Allah only, who is one and Qahar. So basically, the whole empire, the whole mulk belongs to Him. And then Allah will say that, أَنَا خَلَقْتُ الْخَلَائِقَ كُلَّهُمْ, I created all the creatures, وَأَمَتُّهُمْ, and I made them die. Inni ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana. This is the statement that Allah is going to say after Israfil blows the trumpet and everybody dies. And then Allah says to Israfil also, mut, that means die. And through the command of Allah, Israfil, the angel, will also die. And after the death of Israel, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is informing us that this is what Allah is going to say before everybody is resurrected again to become alive. So here, in that statement, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is informing us, Allah will say, Inni ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana. Certainly, I am the Lord worthy of worshipping. There is no one worthy of worshipping except me. Wahdi, alone. That means me alone. La sharika li. There is no partner to me. Wala wazir. And no helper. Wa ana khalaqtu khalqi bi yadi. I created the creatures with my hand. Wa ana amattuhum bi mashiyati, and I made them die with my mashiyat and will. Wa ana uhyihim bi qudrati, and I'm going to make them alive with my power. Qala fayanfakhul jabbaru nafkhatan ukhra fis-sur fayakhruju sawtu, and at that time Allah is going to Himself blow the trumpet, the sur, for the second time, and then everybody would wake up. Everybody would become alive, get resurrected once again. This is what we talk about, the day of resurrection. That Yawmul Hashr, Yawmul Ba'ath, Yawmul Nushur, Yawmul Qiyamah. That's how it would happen. And, فَلَا يَبْقَى فِي السَّمَوَاتِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا حَيٌّ, and no one would remain in the heavens except that he would be alive. وَقَامُوا كَمَا كَانَ, and they will all stand up the way they were. وَيَعُودُ حَمَلَةُ الْعَرْشِ, and the carriers of the throne of Allah, Arsh, will go come back, wa yahwurul jannah and paradise, wa nar and paradise and hell will be present, wa yuhsharul khalaiqu lil hisab and all the creatures will be gathered for accountability. So here, and the narrator says, qala rabi فَرَّأَيْتُ سَجَّادَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَبْكِي عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ بُكَاءً. When Imam Sajjad alayhi salam mentioned this whole scenario of Day of Judgment, this whole thing, he started to cry at that point. So this this thing of the tafsir mentioned about the verse of Surah Az-Zumar, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَسَّعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, when you know the trumpet is, when the trumpet is blown and all those in the heavens and all those in earth will die, will fall down, and illa man sha Allah. This illa man sha Allah has been interpreted in different narrations. Who are those personalities which will not die with the sur and trumpet of Israfil, whom Allah wish? Who are those? Some of the narrations say that it will be Jibra'il and Mika'il and Israfil and Izra'il, the Malakul Maut. Jibra'il is the Malakul Ilm and Wahi, whereas, you know, Mika'il is what we call him Malakul Risk, the sustenance and risk from Allah is distributed, it comes down through the Mika'il. And Israfil is the one who will blow the trumpet. And wa Malakul Maut is, of course, the angel of death whose name is Israel. And these all four are the great Muqarrab angels and close angels of Allah. This is one tafsir. Another tafsir says that, and what Sayyid Bahrul Loom has mentioned is according to this second tafsir. He says, another tafsir says that Prophet asked Jibreel about this verse of Holy Quran, illa man sha Allah, whom, you know, and Jibreel replied that, you know, Prophet asked that, man dhal ladhi lam yasha illahu an yus'iqahum, who are those that Allah doesn't wish for them to fall down? That means, in other words, to die. And Jibreel replied to the Prophet, humush shuhada, they are the shuhada. That's exactly where we were talking about. That shuhada are the ones who are basically having the hayate haqiqiyya, because they have already crossed those levels and done the jihad akbar and reached the alamul fath wa zafar, the world of victory, and reached the world of ikhlas. Back then in the life of dunya, detached their souls already voluntarily by themselves, so they have already gained the real life of the soul, the spiritual success. So that's the reason, because they have already gained the spiritual success by detaching their souls, which is the voluntary quote-unquote death. Because what happens in the death, detachment of the souls and transferring of the soul from this material world to the Alamul Malakut, the world of hidden realities, that's exactly what happens in time of death. These awliyaullah have already done the same voluntarily themselves. So that's why they have tasted, that's why it is said that they have already tasted death in this sense of the word. Not that they die, you know, of course they are alive, but they have tasted the death in the sense that they have detached, because they are shaheed. And so these shuhada are the ones who are basically shahid and witness over our a'mal and actions. No one can be a shaheed, you know, according to what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah had mentioned, that according to the terminology of Holy Quran, when Quran calls someone to be shaheed and martyr, Quran doesn't mean just anybody who goes to the Islamic battlefield and dies. What Quran, in the real sense, what Quran considers to be a shaheed is the person who is shahid and witness over the actions of the people, you know. So he's the one who is called in the Quranic term as shaheed. Now, how can you be a witness when you saw the things taking place? Isn't that right? If you are asked by a judge to come to the court to witness about something, when can you classify to be a witness? When you saw the action taking place. If you were absent at the time of the action, can you be a witness? Of course not. That's pure logic. So when Quran says the shuhada to be shuhada, my teacher says, because of the fact these shuhada are so high in their spirituality, back then in their life of dunya, they were shahid and witness over a'mal of the ibad, a'mal of the people. How can you be shahid? You will be shahid and witness over actions of the humanity when your spirituality was so vast that you engulfed and you were supervising and you were witnessing and you were seeing them doing the actions. This belongs to Alamul Fath wa Zafar. This is what exactly what we are talking about. So a shaheed is exempt from that death which is going to happen with the Sur of Israfil. The shuhada are exempt from that death because they have the hayatun haqiqiyya already achieved voluntarily. And this is what I told you that when it is said that man arada an yanzura ila mayyitin yamshi falyanzur ila Ali ibn Abi Talib. If somebody wants to see a mayyit who is walking, a dead person who is walking, he should look at Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Why do we call Imam Ali alayhi salam to be a dead person walking? He's not dead, he was alive at that time. We call because his soul was not attached to this temporary world. This is that highest level of spirituality. So that's the, that may be the meaning of what the Prophet had said, mutu qabla an tamutu. That means die before you die. Die before you die means, we have to, maybe one of the ma'ani and meanings is that we need to detach our souls before our souls get detached at the time of death. Now, I think we have 5 minutes so remaining.
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Okay. So, after that, the next he starts to explain, Sayyid Bahrul Uloom Rahmatullah Alayhi, he starts to explain some practical tips about the Tazkiyatun Nafs. Practical tips are something which are very important because these are the tips that we are learning from those who have reached the manzil, the destination. When somebody has already gone through and reached the destination and then he is telling you the directions, it makes a lot of sense, and it's very important to pay attention to what these people are saying. I remember Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sheikh Hassan Zada Amuli, hafizahullah, one of our great urafa who is alive, a very great personality, and he is also one of those few personalities whom we call as Jami'u Jami'il Ulum. He has all those knowledges. He is an amazing personality, of falsafa and irfan and fiqh and usul and ilm al-jafar and ilm al-adad and ilm al-hay'at and ilm al-nujum and so forth, you name it, different kinds of knowledges, and he is one of the unique scholars, and may Allah inshallah prolong his life. He was saying once that he asked his teacher, that means Ayatullah Hassan Zada Amuli Hafidhahullah, he asked his teacher of Irfan that which of the previous scholars of the earlier generations were the greatest in their spirituality. And his teacher replied that the greatest personalities in terms of the taharat of the qalb who reached the highest levels, he started to name those few. We respect all the scholars, but there are some who are really great, who are higher than others. So his teacher of Irfan was informing him the names of some of those great scholars who have already reached the highest of the destinations, and they became like an Insanul Kamil, perfect humans. And in those few names, his teacher mentioned to him, the name of Sayyid Bahrul Rum, and also, Ayatullah al-Uzma Ibn al-Fahd al-Hilli, who is the sahib, the writer of Uddatul Da'i, you know, the famous book of dua that we have. It's a wonderful book. If you go through that book, you find so much nice things, you know. It's in one volume, but it has great matalib and great duas and great things written by Ibn Fahd. When you read the books of those people who are al-insanul kamil, the perfect humans, their ibarat, their text tell you, they speak, the texts of their books, they speak out loud and clear, and you get the feeling about how deep their statements are. So it's very important to turn to the practical tips, and we will come very soon, inshallah, maybe in the next Thursday, about one of the very important tips, which is seeking the murabbi for a supervisor, a teacher who basically walks you through those stages till you reach the hadaf and destination. This murabbi is very, very significant in your life, and even our scholars and orafa say that even if you spend half of your life searching a proper murabbi and ustad and trainer for that, it's worth it. So inshallah, in the next Thursday we will start those some of those practical tips that Sayyid Bahrul Uloom had mentioned about this sair and suluk ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have, we have about 5 minutes. If you have some questions about the speech, we have 5 minutes for that. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-mayameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
We need to pay attention towards the definition of death. Excuse me. The definition of death. Death does not mean destruction. And death does not mean fana either. Some people think that death means fana. Death is not fana, and death is not converting the wujud and existence into adam, non-existence. This is not the definition of death. This is a misconception in the minds of some people, generally speaking, who think that when death happens, the wujud and existence gets converted into non-existence and adam. This is in Islamic philosophy something which is muhal and impossible to happen, and it's not going to happen, and that's not the definition of death at all. Wujud actually never gets converted into non-existence. Existence can never get converted into non-existence. That's against the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It never happens and will never happen. Anything, you know, when Allah created the wujud, He did not create it to convert it into adam. He has the power to do that, but He's not going to do that. He's not doing it, and this is not the meaning of death. Death has been defined as separation of the soul, you know, In fasal ruh an al badan, and then transferring of the soul from this material world to alam al malakut. This is the definition of death. The soul gets transferred, the body stays here in this world. There is a special contact and irtibat khas. There's a special kind of link remaining in the alamul mithal, alamul barzakh, between the soul and the body. And because of that link, the body is also feeling the pain of the azab, or the body is also feeling the pleasures and blessings of the ni'mat and sawab and rewards which we believe we receive in the time of barzakh, in the qabr. We receive that because the hadith says it's either, you know, rawdatum min riyad al-jannah, either one of the gardens of paradise, or hufratum min hufarin nar, or one of the ditches among the ditches of the hell. So basically, a person starts receiving, if the body has zero link with the soul, why would the body feel any sawab or any azab? So body has a kind of link. That's what we say in Alamul Barzakh, in Alamul Mithal. It is Tajarrudul Barzakhi. Tajarrudul Barzakhi means it has a kind of link with the non-material world and a kind of link with the material world remaining. So this is a stage between the two stages, material world and the non-material world, which is Alame Tajarrud. So this is the middle stage. In this middle stage, there is a link with both the worlds on both the sides. So that's the reason why this body also feels the pain or the pleasures and the rewards and the punishments in the barzakh. So basically, because the soul has a contact. Because of the soul, the body feels the azab. Otherwise, the body gets decayed for those who don't have taqwa. Their body gets decayed after a few years, but those who have taqwa, their body even doesn't get decayed. But that's besides the point. Even if the body gets decayed, that doesn't mean that it gets converted into non-existence. It converts into something else, into soil or whatever. But it's not non-existence. It's something else. But the soul is still there and depends on our amal and actions, goes to Wadi Salam or Wadi Birhut, depending on our good or bad actions. And then the soul also accompanies our amal and actions. And that has the Nuraniyat or Zulmaniyat for our soul. So the soul has the Jisme Misali, the body that we have carved with our actions, which is the soul is also punished along with the body and along with that Jisme Misali that it has. So the punishment continues and it's not non-existence. That stage is, of course, the stage of only those. That's the place where we will learn who has the Hayate Haqiqiyya. At that time, we would learn who has the Hayate Haqiqiyya, the real life. Because only the Shuhada who had the Hayate Haqiqiyya are the ones who are exempt from that death at the time of Su. Because the Maut-e Zahiri is not the criteria to judge. Even the Anbiya died. The criteria to judge about the real life is who is going to die at the time of the Sur of Israfil. So only the Shuhada will be exempt and all the rest will die. Everything will die, even the angels. Even the angels, every living existence will die at that time. Nothing would remain except those who are Shuhada.
Which page?
There are two different questions in your question. One segment of the question is that what is the form of the body? And one segment of the question is, what would be the age of the resurrected person? The age of the resurrected person is exactly according to how he lived in this world. So if somebody lived for 70 years, that is his age. You know, he's an old man, of course, he's going to be resurrected with exactly the same body, because there are some sects of Islam who believe in, you know, ma'ad ruhani only. The ma'ad, that means the resurrection, is only ruhani, it's spiritual resurrection only. The bodies will not be resurrected. This is a wrong and false belief. It is against the tasrih of Quran. This is what Quran says: وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, when the nufus will be coupled. So the bodies and souls will be coupled back, coupled together. So this belief is against the tasrih of Quran. So we believe in ma'ad ruhani plus jismani, both in Islam. So when the same bodies will be resurrected in the same age. Now, the next segment of your question was the form of the body, the shape of the body. The form and shape of the body depends on your aqidah, your amal, and your akhlaq. The good aqidah, haqq, belief, and good a'mal, taqwa, al-a'mal al-saliha, and good akhlaq, that means sifatul hasana of the soul. This determines the shape and form of the body of the person. The shape and form depends on these three things. So we are carving the shape of our soul. The shape and form of our body will be the same, but the shape and form will be according to our soul. All these three things are determining the face of our soul. Our soul also has a face, which is hidden, and we don't see because of those hijabat of sins, blocking the vision to see the realities of the universe. So the soul has a face which is hidden upon us because of our sins. On the day of judgment, the faces of the bodies and the form of the bodies will be determined according to the batin and hidden reality of the human, because that is the Yawmul Batin. One of the 100+ names of day of judgment is Yawmul Batin, the world of hidden realities. So the body, the form of the body will be not be determined according to how you were zahiran, and apparently you seem to be, you looked to like back then in the life of dunya. The form will be according to how was the form and shape and face of your soul. So that's why we say, you know, in the wudu we say Allahumma, you know, and we have a hadith from the Holy Prophet that mentioning the names of different animals. People resurrected in the form of khinzir, in the form of this. Why? Because his face is like khinzir. Because he had sifat and attributes in the soul similar to one or several sifat of the khinzir. Allah is not zalim. Allah is adil. This is the adl of Allah. He had the sifat of khinzir or several sifat which made his soul resembling to that animal. So he deserves to be the way. He was like this. His soul was like this. We couldn't see. He failed to see. That's lack of our vision. It's not that his soul was not in that form back then in the life of dunya. You know, the awliyaullah and the urafa, those who have the ma'rifat, and those and the a'imma alayhi salatu wasalam would have seen him in the real form, just like Imam showed one of his companions between the two fingers, the real face of the soul. That was the real face of the soul. So the form and shape depends on our, belief, the true or false beliefs, haq or batil beliefs, good or bad a'mal, and sifate hasana or sifate radhila of the soul. Can we what? We can recognize, we can know each other, who we are, but people on the day of judgment, generally speaking, will be running away and fleeing from each other, you know, according to the Holy Quran, يَوْمَ يَفَرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. So everybody will be running away from each other, but we will recognize each other. Of course we will. We would know who we are and who they are. We will know each other. But nobody is going to help each other in the time of need and serve each other as friends, except those whose friendships were based on taqwa. Their friendships would last even on the day of judgment, and even after the day of judgment they will still remain as friends because their friendship was based on taqwa. Any friendship that you make with anybody on any material interest of this dunya is a batil asas and foundation and will not survive on the day of judgment, because day of judgment is yawmul haq. Nothing of batil can remain there. Let's say the azan, please. Brother Ahmed.